Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and as he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites that he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. Our gospel reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. Suddenly they appeared to them, Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will set up three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up, do not be afraid. And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead.
Let's give thanks for the reading of the word. Please be seated. Listen. There is something deeply powerful about that command that comes from the heavens. Listen. The command from God is not go and be sinless. It is not go and be the most righteous people ever to have lived. The command is not go convert the masses by whatever means necessary. No, the command from the heavens is to listen. And in many ways, listening is the harder task. Because we are a people who know about action. We may not always know the right way to act, but generally we are good at acting, or maybe reacting sometimes. But do we know how to listen? We know the disciples struggle with listening. They are a people of action. Sometimes that action was jockeying for seniority amongst themselves. Sometimes that action was replacing God's love for all people with violence or fear or pride. But we know the disciples struggle to listen sometimes. We know especially they struggle to listen when the voice of God is calling them to go into the world in ways that they do not expect or anticipate. How hard it must have been to listen, to hear the message of reconciliation when so many wanted retribution. How hard it must have been to listen and hear the message of self-sacrifice when so many wanted self-aggrandization. How hard it must have been to listen and hear the message of salvation when so many wanted their enemies to be punished or damned. Listening has always been harder than doing, because listening forces us to hear a voice that is not our own. Last few weeks, we've been exploring the facets of Wesleyan spirituality through the lens of grace. Grace as a way of seeing God more and more clearly throughout our lives. A couple weeks ago, we talked first about prevenient grace, that grace that is God's love for us before our awareness. Last week, we talked about that justifying grace when we recognize the need for God's love to transform our lives. And today, we think about sanctifying grace, step by step coming to understand God's love for us more clearly in ways that transform who we are so that we are more Christ-like. The grace that is perfecting us in love. Sanctifying grace teaches us that the more time we spend with God's love in our lives, the more time we spend listening to the call of God in our lives, the clearer we begin to understand what it means to love God with the whole of our being. And when we start to understand loving God more and more, we also start loving one another more, loving all that God has created more. And as we love all that God has created more, we also learn to love God more. Sanctifying grace puts us in this kind of feedback loop where we continue to be perfected in love. And that is our goal as United Methodists. Look at our vision statement. Our vision statement has been up here for the last month and a half, and I think it teaches us what sanctification looks like. It looks like loving boldly. It looks like serving joyfully. And it looks like leading courageously. And all of this begins when we start listening to Christ. There are signs in our lives. It becomes apparent when we are listening to Christ. Because listening to Christ will lead us to acting in more compassionate ways. Listening to Christ will have us working more towards justice. Listening to Christ will lead us to being more merciful in all aspects of our lives. We heard the story a moment ago of Moses going up the mountain, speaking with God. And when Moses would come down the mountain, his face would shine. Everybody would know that he had been talking to God because his face was glowing. When we are in the presence of God, it might not light up our faces like it did to Moses. But it should be obvious to the world that something has changed when we spend time in the presence of the love of God. The love of God will shine not through our skin, but through our actions and our words and our very presence in the world. We've heard the story of the Transfiguration now 2 weeks in a row. Last week we heard the story from the Gospel of Luke. This week we hear it from the Gospel of Matthew. And the story doesn't change a whole lot between the two Gospels. But Matthew adds, what do we want to call it? An epilogue to the story? Matthew adds something at the end that the other Gospels don't have. Matthew adds Jesus' response to what has happened. Jesus responds to the disciples after they have heard the voice from the heavens. Matthew records Jesus coming to the disciples who have fallen to the ground in fear, and Jesus reaches out and touches them. And he says to them, "Get up and do not be afraid." Maybe that is the message that resounds with us this Sunday. Get up and do not be afraid. Get up and do not be afraid. Get up and do not be afraid. The first thing that Jesus says to his followers after the voice from heaven says to listen to Jesus is get up and do not be afraid. I gotta tell you, there has been so much going on in the world in just the last 6 to 12 months that it has felt overwhelming most days. I don't know who else feels that way, but things have felt overwhelming. Another word I came up with was soul-crushing. Or energy sucking. It seems like there's a new crisis that develops every single day that requires us to respond. And there are more days than not right now when I go home at the end of the day and I just throw my hands up and say, I'm done with it all. And sometimes I mean I'm done for that day, and sometimes I think I mean I'm done for a little bit longer than that. Because there are some days when it just feels too overwhelming. Matthew uses the word overcome. He says the disciples are overcome with fear. Overcome is how he describes the fear. Interestingly enough, in Greek, it is the same word that is used to describe the stone that goes over the tomb of Jesus. The stone is described as very large, too large to move. And the word is overcome. It is overcome with weight so that it cannot be moved. How often does it feel like things are just too heavy for us to move them? How often have we felt overcome? Immigration raids, violence against trans persons, military action in Iran, Venezuela, grocery prices are up, there's too much housing insecurity, there's too much snow out there. There are friends and neighbors who are struggling in ways that we don't know how to respond to. We can't answer the struggles that come to our doors every single day. And that is on top of all the normal crises that we deal with. All of it might send us to our knees like the disciples, saying it is just too much to deal with. Yet those words from Jesus, they are like spiritual nourishment for a weary soul. It is like Jesus has laid a hand on our shoulders saying, I know it's been tough. I know it's felt overwhelming. I know you haven't always known the right way to live or the right thing to say or the right response to embody. I know things seem hard right now. Get up and don't be afraid. This past week we witnessed a group of people walking halfway across this country into the District of Columbia. People who were willing to get up and not be afraid. This past month, we've seen people in Minneapolis getting up and refusing to be afraid. Maybe those are the same words that we need to listen to today, the same words that Jesus said to his disciples 2,000 years ago on the top of a mountain. Get up and do not be afraid. Get up and do not be afraid. Get up and do not be afraid. When life seems too hard, get up and do not be afraid. When life seems too overwhelming, get up and do not be afraid. When we don't know the next place to go, the next word to say, the next thing to do, get up and do not be afraid. Listening to Christ puts us back out into the world to carry the love of God that we have received to a world that is waiting to experience it. To a world where so many are weary and beaten down and overcome. Jesus says to us, get up and do not be afraid. The sanctifying love of God that is transforming our hearts is not to keep us in this church. It is not to keep us afraid. It is not to keep us away from the world. The sanctifying love of God that is transforming our hearts is to put us back out into the world, to get up without fear, to send us out. Not in the easy times, but in the hard times. Not in the stress-free moments, but in the moments that seem too stressful to bear. To send us out into the world, even in those times when we have felt overcome. In those times, we hear the voice of Jesus telling us, get up and do not be afraid. Let's take a few moments in prayer. Holy God, in a moment of splendor on the top of a mountain, your disciples trembled in fear. The voice of God said to them so long ago, listen. And the next thing they heard was the voice of their friend calling to them to get up without fear. Help us today, O God, to listen. To listen in these days when we may feel overcome. That we too should get up with the love of God abroad in our hearts to go back out into the world without fear, knowing that we are sent on a mission to proclaim the good news of Christ to a world needing to hear it, to proclaim a message of God's love for hearts that are just waiting to be transformed by it. Lord, let us go today in all places of our lives to love boldly, to serve joyfully, and to lead courageously, as Christ would have us do. In Christ I pray. Amen.